A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Allah Inurjim, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Respected viewers, Assalamu Alaikum and welcome to this week's show where we'll be talking about divorce and the impact that it has on children. Marriage is a rite of passage where both genders take a long time pondering and reflecting upon the person that they're going to enter into this lifelong commitment with. And it is a lifelong commitment, and I think it's summed up beautifully by the secular vows that says, till death do us part. Now when a couple are in a relationship, their next stage of commitment and dedication to one another is when they take the decision to make the extension of themselves and they have children. Now, as good intended as we are that when we enter into marriage, we look at it for the long haul, divorce is disliked by the religion of Islam, but it is a reality that exists. Now, when a couple are without children, divorce is already a very emotionally trying experience. However, when the party does have a child, then there is sufficient psychological and emotional upheaval upon them. And today we want to look at that emotional upheaval. We want to look at that psychological impact that it has on children and suggest maybe ways that we can look to try and manage that upon children. And so today, to discuss the impact of divorce on children, is my two guests. My first guest is Sister Farzana Hirji, who is married with three kids. By profession, she is a learning disabilities nurse and a generic social worker. She's worked with people both with learning difficulties and mental health, and is also a children's social worker as well. My second guest is Yasmin Mirza. She is a qualified journalist. She's worked abroad in Dubai managing a few women's lifestyle magazines. She moved back to the UK in 2009 and she managed the popular Muslim lifestyle magazine ML. She now works within a community mosque. So, Assalamu Alaikum and welcome to this week's show.
Alaikum Assalam.
So, Farzana, if I can ask you first, how crucial during this time of like self-emotional turmoil that you're going through with divorce, does one have to be aware of children's emotions?
I mean, we would expect one to be aware of children's emotions, but sometimes you're going through so much yourself that you don't always notice the child. Not that you're consciously not wanting to notice the child, but you're just so wrapped up in your own issues, your own emotions, that sometimes you just do things for the child and not feel the child. Does that make sense? You don't actually realize the emotional impact it has on the child unless something happens or the child comes out with something, then it makes you realize, oh, actually, it's not just me that's going through it, it's the child that's going through it as well. So I think it's not purposefully done, but you can sometimes really lose track of other people around you.
Because it's kind of like you're trying to balance your emotions, and then there's another living being that has emotions also, and it's almost like, are you kind of like then at a toss? Do you put yours on the back burner? Do you put theirs at the forefront?
As soon as you realise, obviously, it's a human instinct. You'd go for your child first. You would then make sure that the emotional state of your child is stable whilst you're working on yourself, but you would try and get them to be as stable as possible first. But I mean, in the situations that I've seen anyway, and some of them are divorces that aren't very, you know, they can be quite messy. The person is so wrapped up in their own emotional state, sometimes quite depressed even, especially if they're non-Muslim and, you know, they don't have that faith. They're not seeing, I mean, sometimes there's substance abuse and other things that go on as well to try and compensate for their own emotional stress, that they're not seeing the child or anybody else in the family. But I wouldn't say it's purposeful. I think it's just the situation and the level of emotion that they're going through that they don't always...
They don't factor in. Okay, so Sister Yasmin, if I could come to you. I mean, alhamdulillah, happily married now, but you did have a child from your first marriage. How did your daughter deal with the experience of divorce?
It was very difficult for her, obviously, initially. There were two aspects to it. One was that she was like, oh, just make it stop. You're always shouting. I want peace and quiet. Make it stop. The other aspect was, why can't we be a family? Why can't we be together? Why can't dad just, you know, stop shouting at you? Or why don't you just listen to what he's saying and just do what he tells you to do? Or, you know, like it was all this going on. The one thing I did do, which I'm thankful to, and I don't, maybe it's because I am by nature a very articulate, expressive kind of person, I encouraged her to talk to me about how she was feeling. So I would sit down with her and I'd say to her, look, you know, because she was, what, six when it all kicked off, really. so she's still quite little. Mm. And I said to her, look, you know, things are not going right with you, with me and your dad. And, you know, I want to make it better. And I want you to know it's not your fault, because she did think it was her fault. Is it because of me? If I wasn't here, would everything be okay? And I don't even know why she thought that way. But I tried my best to talk to her. I didn't want her to bottle things up. I didn't want her to become distant from me, because then they want to leave home. They want to run away from the situation. I didn't want her to think along those lines. She probably couldn't have got very far if she'd run away, but you know, it's still, you don't want the child to feel that way. So
but you were conscious of all of that.
I was, funnily enough. And maybe I think it's through Allah, you know, the hidayah, the whatever it was, the guidance I was getting was through my prayers and through my du'as, and it strengthened my faith. It was the biggest test of my life.
I think religion is giving us a chance to ponder over ourselves.
Yes.
And that's that thinking process that is healing itself, isn't it, in a sense?
Yeah.
And that's when you get a chance to open your mind.
Yeah. And, you know, when you read through all the hadiths that the imams have said, you know, they give you strength, because they make you see what is right. And then you think, right, now I need to deal with the situation, and I must guide my daughter towards her deen, so she has something to hold on to. This, I said to her, this will never leave you. This will be with you forever. So hold on to it. Like, you know, there is nothing else to hold on to. And, you know, maybe something resonated with her and she understood. Alhamdulillah.
I mean, you worked in Dubai first, and then you moved back to the UK. Just to try and gain a little bit of perspective, I mean, humans by nature don't like change.
No.
So when you were going through your divorce, was this prior to your move? So therefore you were moving from Dubai back to the UK, and therefore the upheaval was bigger for your daughter, or was it...
So when we were in Dubai, I didn't actually think I would leave and come back to the UK. I thought, you know, I'm staying in Dubai for till whenever. But then when the decision was taken, right, I need time out. Because when I came back to the UK, actually, it was the period to reflect and to think. Okay, so after 6 months, I was going to review the situation, or we were going to review the situation and decide whether we should make another go of it, or whether it, you know, that's it. It's khalas, it's finished. So that was difficult for my daughter to leave, you know, because she was like literally, I think she was 2 when we left the UK. So she'd grown up practically out of the UK. And that change was hard for her. Mm-hmm. You know, she did play up. She did become clingy. She was upset. She would cry. She wouldn't talk to everybody. But I just kept her busy. You know, then obviously starting a different school, different kind of weather. Everything was new. She didn't have a room to begin with, you know, because we were staying with family. And it was hard. It was very difficult for her. But I tried to keep her busy. I'd take her swimming. I'd say to her, look, you know, there's a great leisure centre down the road. Let's go play badminton. I went to see family. We would go on road trips. I would say to her, oh, it's this British summer is lovely. Let's go on a picnic. You know, I tried to stay positive through it all. I didn't want her to see me breaking or feeling sad or down or depressed. And I tried to involve her in the local mosque. We joined the madrasa, and, you know, I got her into that whole meeting people, and when she met other people, other children, she realized she wasn't alone in that situation. It helped her deal with the change.
So whilst you were trying to do all of this with your daughter to keep her occupied and keep, did you find that then you were then put on the back burner, and then when you had to deal with yourself, there was like a backlog of trying to like things to...
Of course it was, but then I thought, I brought this child into this world, it's not about me, it's about her. I have to make sure she's okay. So I lay the foundations of a good human being, inshallah. And, you know, she doesn't, in later on in life, God forbid, but if she is faced with trials and problems, she doesn't turn to other things. She turns to Quran, to namaz, you know, to hadeen for help and solace. So for me, the timing of that was critical, because she had to know at this point, when everything is being, you know, her home is literally broken, it's not the end of the world. It's bad, it's happened. Yes, it's happened, but there are ways to deal with these situations. And, you know, I thank people around me for this guidance. You know, family, friends, and good community members, and people who just literally came into my life like angels, which, you know, I think is a blessing.
So, I mean, alhamdulillah, like, we know that Sister Yasmin has been able to manage this. Rizan, if I can ask you, in your work, are there instances where this complete overhaul in emotions are so big that children are become completely derailed?
I think because of the job that we do, we will home in on the children, because obviously, I mean, that when I was working as a children's social worker, I obviously children were the first priority for me, so they would always be at the forefront for me, and obviously then we'd then deal with the mother's issues as well, or make referrals so that the mother gets the support that she needs from the right agency or right place that she needs to get support from. But my priority was always the child first. So from my profession, the child was never, they were always the centre.
Okay, so they become the centre, but do we see instances of how badly it can affect a child? Like, you know, for Sister Yasmin, it was about moving country and, you know, trying to rehome themselves here and getting them used to it. And alhamdulillah, she's managed that quite well. But I mean, she indicated that one of her fears was that her child may run away, may not have got far, but may have run away. I mean, have you seen anything where there have been drastic measures by children trying to deal with this kind of upheaval?
There are, but I mean, they're all non-Muslim families, so some of the situations, some children go into substance misuse, but like, they don't have the guidance that we have, like you said, the iman that we have within our households, that the strength we give them, that the feeling that, you know, there's somebody there for us always, Allah is always going to be there for us. Mashallah, the lives that we live are giving us that strength. Whereas non-Muslim, I mean, I can only talk about mostly non-Muslim families, they don't have that. They can go into prostitution, they can go into all kinds of things, because they want to express themselves. They want somebody to notice, but they're not going to say what the actual problem is.
Yeah.
I mean, they have further issues where, you know, even though there's a divorce happening, the mother's now got a boyfriend and all kinds of other issues. So it's a lot more complicated in the work that I do. Whereas in some ways, it can be a little bit more straightforward with people that are from the same religion and the same culture as us, because obviously majority of us believe in Allah, and obviously we follow the way of the 14 Masumeens, alayhi salam. So I think that gives them the strength. But as far as you were talking about change, sometimes I think for a child to have the change in environment, to actually be removed from that home, which they remember all the issues, emotions that are there, sometimes removing them from that environment to somewhere else, like going to grandmother's for a bit, can help them to let go of all the emotional issues that they have. And so for the mother as well, or the father. But just the change can also do good. It really depends on the situation.
Yeah.
And is there, I mean, like, Sissy asked me if I can ask you, how did you minimise the damage on your daughter? Like, are there any advice that you can give to maybe the viewers who are in a similar situation?
Gosh, I think making your child your priority, I think, is something that will help at the time, because timing is crucial in these things. If you're going... The child has to be kept away from the screaming and the shouting and the courtroom dramas and the solicitor calls. You know, everything you go through doesn't have to be turned into a vocal discussion in the sitting room when your child is sitting there probably trying to do their homework.
Sometimes it's hard though. You do have children that want to know, because they understand and they will find every way.
I think the age, it depends how old they are. Like, probably older children, perhaps. I think if my daughter's now, what, she's going to be 13 at the end of this month. If it had happened now, mashallah, if it happened now, I think she would be a lot more involved and inquisitive, and she'd probably have a very strong opinion. You know, like, I don't think that's right, whatever. But she was 7 then. So, you know, when you're 7, it's more about different things, you know. It's a lot of confusion in the mind. I tried to keep her away from it. I didn't tell her everything, but I broke it down in very simple terms. I said to her, when two people are not getting on and they've tried their best and they end up screaming and shouting at each other, and mummy's always crying and maybe daddy's not happy, and sometimes it's better to just move away from it. And she was like, oh, so then there won't be all that noise. I said, yeah. So, you know, it was like she was relieved. At the same time, you know, I didn't disconnect her from her dad's side of the family. You know, the grandparents, she visits them. She did then. She, you know, I didn't dispute the access. You know, I allowed him to see her. If there was a problem, I would very categorically say, excuse me, this is not on. You may wish to meet with her. but do not sit and abuse her mother, because at one point that was happening. And I said, well, she's not going to come over. So I didn't take the love away from her. I tried to make sure she got lots of love, almost to compensate for everything that was happening. Then there is a small chance that you think they might get spoiled, because you have to strike that balance, you know. You need to make sure you're not over pampering them to compensate for what's happened.
And can that over pampering sometimes lead to abuse of the fact that they now have the upper hand? Actually,
manipulation,
you know,
of the parent completely. So, you know, there is, it's very difficult. You have to be good and bad, you know, be strong, be stern, but also be loving. And it's hard work. It's not easy. But
I think what you were saying before about the does the child, does the parent always realise what the child is feeling? I think up until the time of divorce, I mean, obviously I don't have experience, but from the kind of cases that I've seen, up until the time of divorce, sometimes the child can be kind of put on the backbone without realising. But once you've made that decision, you made that conscious decision, you've kind of dealt with your emotions in a sense, and you know you now need to put your emotions behind you and you need to move forward. You need to start at that point, I think, I mean, say if I'm wrong, but at that point I think you start to think with a clear head. You start to know what you need to do, and that's when you can help your child as well as help yourself. And you are very rational in your thinking. And things kind of tend to fall into the place that
when
you want.
When you've taken the decision that this is what you have to do, then yes, you do get some clarity of thought because you've actually finally made a decision. But, you know, you do sit and you do think, I have this life that, you know, it's up to me to make or break her personality. I can make her into a positive person and make her understand that we have problems in life. That's why we are here. We will get tested. It's in the Quran. You know, I think I took reference from the Quran a lot to show her that this is not something we're being punished for. It's a test. We have to get through it with our faith and iman. Like you said, we're blessed. We have our iman. You know, but I feel for those who don't have that iman, and I feel for those children who are in a society where the natural thing for them would be to either go out and get a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or turn to drugs, or turn to alcohol.
It's just to try and get rid of that feeling. And
it's,
they will
not
try anything to get rid of that feeling.
The emptiness.
Whereas we will actually go into ourselves with the du'as, with Quran, and, you know, and heal that feeling in a sense. We would try and heal it. Whereas they don't know a way of
healing.
It's
really sad.
So they may have to react to try and overcome that feeling.
And there's a lot of soul searching. And I encouraged my daughter to soul search as she got a bit older. Obviously, when she was younger, I didn't. She was not understanding it. But I said to her, you know, we are always... we need to look at ourselves. Maybe there are things that I should have corrected. I don't know. I mean, I didn't make out her dad to be the bad one, 100%. I said to her, look, I'm a human being. Perhaps I've made mistakes. So she doesn't always think my dad was bad. Now she's at an age where she's realizing she's figured it out, which is fine by me, because I didn't force her to think in a certain way.
Did brainwash her?
No. Because I have to answer to that when I die.
Yeah.
You know, if there's something wrong I'm saying, I have to answer to it. So I try. I just said to her, it's not working out, and we're going to be busy with other stuff, but you'll still see your dad.
So while you've been obviously helping her through this, in some ways the experience is a plus point for her future. So you've set a good ground for her, whereas other children that have been from very happy, alhamdulillah, very happy marriages, they don't have that level of experience, and if they face troubles in the future, they may struggle. Whereas in some ways, you could take condolence in the sense
it's
of the fact
that
it's
a very positive way to look at it. I like that.
But you've given her that grounding. You've given her that, you know, whatever troubles you come. Yeah.
I had no choice.
But you've made her a stronger person.
I hope so. Inshallah.
Inshallah. So, Frizana, if I can come to you, in your role as a social worker, obviously until the decision has been made and we hope that the mother or the father is now being pragmatic and going, right, I need to deal with my child first. We say that, you know, that's going to happen, and that's exactly what did happen, but I don't know whether 100% in all cases is that is the actual case. What signs do you look for that say that a child is maybe not settling into their new home, or they're not settling with a new arrangement, or then, you know, they're just not dealing with it?
Well, as a social worker, we have our assessments that we need to complete, which would mean obviously going into the school, speaking to the, obviously if this is a case that's come to the social worker. There are many cases that obviously don't
make their way out.
But there are, in those cases, there are health visitors and other professionals that are involved if it's going through the courts anyway. But in our case, we have a social work report that we need to put together. I mean, I've worked on child protection. Most of these cases would not come to that level. There would be at a lower level, in a sense, than child protection. But we would have contact centres where we would observe contact if that's agreed. So if, say, for example, the mother is worried about the father and the father, you know, if there is violence, maybe there isn't violence, maybe the father's got some other issues that they need to deal with. There are contact centres where they can be assessed while they're with their child, and then we'll be able to observe the child's reaction towards the father or the mother, depending on whoever it is. That's that sometimes the sessions aren't even observed. They're free sessions, but just in a place where they're safe to have this contact. And the child would be observed going in and out.
So what do you look for? Say, for example, there's a dispute. I hope you don't mind me asking.
No.
So like they're in court fighting who the child is going to live with. And then I assume you go and you see how the child has been taken. What things are you looking for?
I mean, before we see the child in contact, it's usually the assessment prior to that would be how stable is your living situation and how stable is your living situation. What support systems do you have? What support systems do you have? And it's kind of like what would actually functionally be better for the child? Who does a child prefer to go to? Who does a child have a better relationship with? And then when it comes down to contact, you know, is a child happy to see the person they're having contact with, the father or the mother? Is a child loving, you know, are they hugging the parent? Are they not? Are they keeping their distance? Do they play with themselves and the person is just playing next to them? Do they actually go up to the parent and play with them? So there's a lot to look out for, to be honest. I mean, in a lot of divorce cases, a lot of things aren't actually picked up because some of them are quite amicable and quite you know, they're not all
quite civil.
There's not always upheaval and stuff. So the child is quite settled, and sometimes because it's planned or it's well worked out, that both parents are making sure that the child is settled. So it really depends on the kind of divorce, really, and the situation.
Brilliant. And we're going to go off for a quick break. So thank you for your contributions to the first half of the show. To my viewers, we have been discussing the impact of divorce on children, and it is a rather complicated issue, and it really does require, from the first half of the show, as we've been talking to both Frizana and Yasmin, that it needs, the child's emotions actually need to take a priority. And we're quite lucky in the fact that we are Muslims, we do have our iman, and our iman does help us to come through a lot of these situations, because when you don't have it, then you can see that, you know, the child looks for attention, it looks for someone to try and place these misplaced emotions, and it can sometimes lead to quite devastating situations. So do join us on the second half of the show, where we'll be continuing to discuss the impact of divorce on children. Welcome back to today's show, where we're talking about the impact of divorce on children. Before the break, we were looking at trying to understand, you know, how they decide which parent takes access of the child. We're looking at what signs are evident that the child is not, you know, settling into their new arrangement. And we're going to go back into the show today and straight into it. And I'll ask Frizana first. You know, when there is a father figure lacking in the, you know, in a child's growth, then you can say that they're lacking a figure of authority, and therefore that can lead to a child's rebellion. Whereas if a child is brought up with without a mother, then you can say they're lacking that kind of compassion, they're lacking that kind of rahmah. And so how do you strike a balance, you know, out of this kind of a situation? Because divorce obviously leads to one parent now being away. How do you try and strike the balance?
From a social worker's point of view, when we do look at who the child is going to go with, and who's providing a better and safer environment for the child, we will include grandparents and how involved they are. And that does in some ways alleviate some of the issues. So if the child has got a really strong bond with their maternal grandparents, for example, mm-hmm. And in a sense that father figure can come from the grandfather, or if there is an uncle that's very close to the family, obviously would need to check their background and make sure that they're, you know, the right kind of people. And these are not usually non-Muslim, but we would look into all of that, and that mm-hmm. would kind of alleviate, you know, having the grandparents or the auntie mm-hmm. or the uncle, and that kind of, we would try and look for that kind of a setting more than somebody that's isolated, left on their own, you know, struggling with work, all those kind of things. So mm-hmm. I mean, whichever family can provide the best support for that child.
Before the break you were saying that you would look at, you know, finances and who's in a better position to kind of support. I mean, I know that finances plays a big part in raising children, but does the fact that someone is financially more viable to raise a kid make them a better parent?
No, not necessarily, definitely not. I mean, like I said, we also look at the background, we look at who else is involved in the care of this child. Mm-hmm. Also, what we don't want is somebody's working a 9-to-5 or longer hours job and coming back and the child is in childcare the whole time, not receiving any emotional, you know, support that they need. Mm-hmm. I mean, the child has so many needs, and it's not just all physical.
Yeah.
There's a lot of emotional, and that's, we need to look at five categories anyway: the emotional, physical, social, educational, and I've lost the fifth one. But those are the categories we need to look at. So we look at take a holistic view, really, as to...
That's really good.
Perfect. And so, obviously, Sister Yasmin, your daughter came into your primary care.
Yeah.
How do you... I mean, I assume, I'm not sure if I'm correct in my assumption, but her father still lives in Dubai?
Yeah, so he didn't actually want to look after her. He said to me, he's quite happy for me to take care of her and raise her, and he stayed out in Dubai. We actually said to him that we'll come out there, and he said, no, I don't really want you in the same country as me. I was like, okay, fine. So I thought, great, well, you know, that made it easier for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've raised her on my own since 2009 with the help of my family. I stayed with my mum and my brother. And my father, everyone was incredibly supportive. So my daughter got the role models and the as you were saying, the substitute father figure, so to speak. In addition to that, she did visit her grandparents every week as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she met with her uncles, her dad's brothers, who all were very, you know, nice and kind and, you know, very civil with me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have any issues with it. You know, the respect was there. So she, you know, she didn't get isolated, cut off. But you know, I had to give up. I couldn't work for a long time, and you know, I struggled in, when I say struggle, I didn't struggle financially
mm-hmm.
in that I didn't have a home and hot food and everything, but you know, I couldn't have the luxury of perhaps going on a holiday with her. Or
but your child was still provided
but she
for
was
anyway,
provided so for she mean. Had, you know, she had her food and she had her clothing, and I picked and dropped her to school every day, and you know, I was there for parents' evenings, I was there for sports days, and I did that because obviously if I worked it would have been really hard for mm-hmm. me to do all of that. And you know, I just, it was all about her for you know, for the first year completely.
So we know that obviously divorce was emotionally trying, and that, alhamdulillah, you're married now again and happily married at that. How did she then deal with the fact that you were remarrying?
Well, before I remarried, her father remarried. So she flew out to Dubai for his wedding. And so that was very difficult for her, actually. She was there all on her own. But she was with the grandparents and her uncles and everybody, but I wasn't there.
Mm.
That must have been hard on you as well.
It was very difficult. It was hard. But I said to her, I said, you know what? I know Imam Zamana and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will look after her. And I sent her almost with that attitude that, you know, I know Allah will protect her and she'll be okay. But she had to go there to see. So that wasn't a very nice experience for her. I think she was quite upset when she was there. I think she was upset more because she was like, oh my God, now I know they'll definitely never get back together. I think it was about that more than anything else. And then when I got married, which was almost a year and a half after her father had remarried, it was difficult for her because she was so possessive over me and she felt that she was going to lose me as a mother. to somebody else. My husband was never married previously, so there was not the issue of any other children in this equation. So, you know, he had never been married before. So, alhamdulillah, he was very patient with her, and, you know, he tried to sort of bond with her, and, you know, he's been absolutely amazing. So, alhamdulillah, he's also made her feel comfortable. And I think on the day of the wedding, she was really upset. It was hard for her. But I normally, what she said to me, well, when her dad got married, he shouted at her and said to her that, you know, you can't come back with me to the house. You have to go and, you know, like, go to the hotel or wherever they were staying. And that stuck in her head, because to her it felt like rejection, that, you know, he doesn't want me now that he's got this other lady in his life. What I did was I took her home with me.
You have a supportive husband there.
My husband was absolutely fantastic. Bless him, you know. She came home with us, so, you know, she didn't feel that mum has abandoned me. And we got up in the morning, we all had breakfast together. It was really quite funny. But I don't regret that for 1 minute. I think in her mind, forever, she'll remember that. And now she's absolutely brilliant, mashallah, alhamdulillah, they go on like a house on fire. You know, the first 3-4 months were difficult, I think, for her as well, to adjust. She used to say to me, it's a bit strange, mum, seeing you with somebody.
Would you say more so because she's a female?
Maybe, I think so. I think girls are probably, I don't know, because I don't have a son, I don't know how guys would react, but maybe she felt a bit more, but then she'd had me to herself for such a long time.
I think females generally are emotionally more wired anyway.
Yeah, I think we are a bit more jealous. I think women can get a bit more jealous, can't they? Women generally do. Men are more easygoing and they have that sort of tendency
calculated to... calculated approach.
Practical and logical and not so emotional. But the impact of the marriage was difficult, but it wasn't damaging, if that makes sense. Whereas the impact of the divorce was probably a little bit damaging. But then you have to do damage recovery and you have to manage the whole, you know, impact.
But in a sense, in the long term, now you've been in the marriage, alhamdulillah, for a while, she's now seeing what normality is, and that's a healing process, added to the healing process.
It'll be a year next month, and she said to me, Mum, that I can't believe it's been almost one year since, and now she calls him Baba, which is really nice. She says, I can't believe you're married for 1 year. And, you know, I think to myself, she's had the positive role models around her to see what, you know, there are some good men there, you know.
Which will help her for the future as well. When she looks for somebody, she knows that it's not all bad. Yeah. It is good. And that's part of the healing process
and
itself, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And so she's realised what's acceptable and what isn't acceptable. So that's really good for her to know that this is what you tolerate. This is what you shouldn't be tolerating. Mm. So...
Brilliant. So, Frizana, in your work as a social worker, do you see a stark difference in how children deal with divorce, those that have faith against those that don't have faith? I don't know whether your work involves people who are Muslims. So,
I haven't had many that are Muslims, how they would deal with divorce. I think it's you see a lot more signs in people that are non-Muslim. The signs come out... In schools tend to pick up on a lot more, and the level of distress is a lot more, I would say.
What do schools kind of pick up on? What kind of are the factors that you kind of look for?
I mean, the simple thing is, if a child is told, right, let's draw today, a lot of the friends would sit around and draw their family, and this one will think, okay, let me draw my family as well. And there might be a picture of, you know, dad far away and mum and child together, or tears on...
Yep.
Or a house and he's
broken
outside
hearts
the house
and things like that.
Yeah.
My heart's hurting. She'd draw pictures of her heart hurting. She'd draw a picture of me in one corner with her, and then she'd draw him in that corner.
Yes.
And then she'd do a line in the middle like a squiggle that is
very
breaking. And that's how she expressed herself to me as well.
Children are so naive. Mm. They may try their best not to say anything, you know, but it comes out. It comes out in drawings. It comes out in behaviour. I mean, you don't really see... you don't really see what I would see non-Muslims in Muslims. I mean, like I said earlier, I think Muslims have a way of soothing themselves and being a lot more calmer in their, not so much of a reaction, whereas I found in a lot of non-Muslims, there's been a lot of reaction. There's not that level of control. I think a way of Muslim life is a way of control, in a sense. We have control over ourselves.
Deep thoughts.
We try, yeah.
Well, that's, I guess, the jihad of life, isn't it? To try and control your anger, try and control your emotions and imaginations and this and that. And so, wow, okay. So, Frizana, I'll ask you first before I ask you to draw on your personal experience. Is divorce easier to deal with when the children are younger as opposed to when they're older?
I don't think that's a clear-cut question, because I think girls at the age of 6, even 5, I mean, my daughter's 4, and she, 4 turning 5, and she's, her emotions surprise me sometimes, the way, you know, the way she thinks, things she picks up, things she notices, things she talks about. And I would say that from that age, 5, 6 onwards, they pick up on a lot.
Yeah, little girls are like...
When they're older, they may pick up and be able to be your support. Whereas boys are different. I think they're living a different kind of world for a while. They don't notice as much. Or they may do, but they just think, hmm. And until about, I mean, my son's, mashallah, 10. And now I'm seeing a lot more emotion coming out of him, which I have not seen till now as well. So I think it's a different age and a different gender. And I also think it's a level of support the child is getting as well. So I don't think there's a clear-cut answer for that at all. And it also depends on how emotional the child is. You may have a child that's just not emotional at all. I mean, then there are other children that are very emotional, very attached, very clingy, just generally, without any issues happening in their life, you know. True. So it really depends on the individual child.
See, my thinking behind this was, you know, by the time the child's, what, 2, 3... still quite young, but then I guess if you divorce then it comes up with so many more questions when they're older.
I think it's so much more of a healing process though, isn't it? It's how you manage the situation, how you manage the divorce, and how much support you have. So if the child is young and you've got through the divorce and they've lived a life, a happy life, alhamdulillah, mashallah, I mean, you've gone through the system quite well, and if they've gone through that, it's a healing process in itself. So I think it's how much support you have and how much you're able to deal with your situation, and again, that comes down to you as a personality and how strong you are when you're going through this as a mother or a father. And again, Islam gives you that strength. So
I don't know if there's anything you can draw into.
Well, I was going to say, it's not easy, even when you're older, or as opposed to if you're younger, but if I can take out the plus or the positive side of it, when you are younger, is that you grow up knowing this is the situation, and you have probably less memories as a family together. Whereas when you get older, and it happens, say, when you're 18 or 19, it's like someone's punched you in the face 6 times over. And, you know, you're like, whoa, well, wait a minute. Hang on a second. What's going on? You know, so actually, I would say it's easier. It's better impact on the kids when they're slightly younger if you deal with it, you know, in a positive way. Because they grow up knowing that this is a situation. This is how our lives are. This is our family setup.
And we're still happy.
But when you're older and you're like, you know, doing your A-levels perhaps, or if you're at university, and it happens, it's literally like someone's turned your world upside down. And it's like, and then also I think when you're older, possibly up until that point, you're not conscious of it, but then you start thinking, what are people going to say? This is really embarrassing. My parents are getting divorced. Yeah. Oh my God. But when you're younger, you kind of, you know, when you're 10, 11, 8, 9, you're in your own little world. It's all about, you know, television and school and studies, and it's slightly different. You're more innocent. You're not aware of the world and its ways.
But what you do want to make sure is obviously the issue doesn't affect their mental state for the future.
Yeah, exactly.
So in a sense, it's mindful whichever their age.
Yeah. At that age, the adult has to be more responsible. I think when the children are younger, it's you know, you have to literally say, okay, forget about me for a second. You take control and you do the right thing. When they're older, parents often look to you for support. So, you know, your mother or your father might sort of turn around and say, well, what do I do? Your father's left me, or your mother's walked out on me, what do I do?
That's,
and you end up becoming the parent. And as an adult, you become, or, you know, if you're 18, 19, you become the parent. And that is actually quite draining and stressful for somebody who possibly is sitting their final year at university or is doing their A-levels. So, you know, it's not ideal, but I think... my personal opinion is it's better when the kids are younger, because when you're older, there's like a whole host of issues that you're dealing with. And it's painful. You know, you're having to do Eid next year without your father.
Mm.
Whereas if you're a kid, you've grown up, you know, okay, yeah, so this either I fly out or I'm going to go to my grandparents. You know, you're yes. accepting to, yeah. to that change. You've grown up with that situation.
Okay, so we're almost nearing the end of the show. So before we get there, is there any advice, any practical tips that you can give to either children or parents that are going through this?
Well, regarding if they're actually going through divorce, obviously, first of all, I hope you've tried to work out your differences and you know, have actually said, well, maybe is there any room for reconciliation? Because it's something which is disliked.
Mm.
Unless it's something which is really innately, you know, you find that, no, we don't get on, we cannot, and you've spoken to families, and, you know, you've spoken to each other amicably and honestly, in a very honest way. You know, sometimes parents do hide their children's faults, but they can do more damage by doing that. If you actually face the fact that your son or your daughter has probably done something wrong,
mm.
and you deal with it, then maybe it might help heal the marriage or acknowledge it. But ultimately, it's down to the two individuals. My other piece of advice would be that if you've got children, then make sure they are your priority, and you put your own differences aside, and, you know, you try and speak to them in a calm way, you talk to them, keep them busy, keep them diverted, don't let them get involved in your differences mm. too much, because it's not fair on them, and that will impact them and damage them in the future. You know, try and be as nice to each other, no matter what you feel that the other person has done. Try and be civil to each other for the sake of the children whilst you have taken the decision to get divorced. You know, don't turn it into a tug of war, because parents need both, children need both parents.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they need a father and a mother. Even if that father is living abroad, the fact is that he or she is still their father and their mother. Unless, you know, like you say, there's abuse or something involved, then, you know.
Perfect. So I'd like to thank both of you for joining us today. It has been a really insightful discussion to my viewers. You know, divorce is a tough and trying time. You know, it sometimes does have a stigma attached to it. I think we have to remember that the innocent party in all of this is obviously the children, and that they do need both the mother and the father whilst growing up. And as long as you keep your child's best interest at heart, and remain mindful of the fact that, you know, we are answerable to Allah, and that this child shouldn't become almost like the ball in the game of tennis that becomes, you know, and on either side is the mother and the father. But inshallah, we do hope that you all have very happy and successful marriages. Do join us next week for our next show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.